Happy Valentine's Day. I mean, I know that some people think that Valentine's Day is a scam, but considering that I spend quite a lot of my life writing romance poetry, I guess I'm kind of into it. You're dangerous as can be, with your greedy, pretty eyes and the way they eat me up. You're delicious as can be when you slice into my strawberry soul and consume all I have. The taste of your hunger for me is all I crave. There is so much power in someone being attracted to you. Like, I just think it's really cool sometimes, you know, knowing that a person wants to be with you and that they want you and whatever. Like, I think it's so cool sometimes. Sometimes it feels terrible, don't get me wrong, but if it's the right person, then it's great. I know that some people will be like, hey, but that's kind of hypocritical, right? But, you know, start your own podcast and make that argument. We don't do that in this house. We can kiss and touch and forget the proper way of using connectives, existing in a beautiful reverie where nobody can hurt us and you'll be fascinated by me because I tell you to, and we're just in my head, living out the movies that I direct every time I see you. I found that in one of my old notebooks. As you may be aware, if you're a regular listener, I moved house recently. And so in doing that, I was sort of packing up my stuff and I found a box with all my old notebooks. Because in the rare moments when I write by hand, I keep them just in case. You know, so I have notebooks full of, you know, sort of things that I've written, some of them, you know, I have, you know, stuff in there that I wrote when I was like 12, 13 sometimes. I think that what I've just read, if I'm remembering correctly, I would have been about 19, I would imagine. So yeah, it's quite a while ago. But I mean, I wrote sort of the basis of it. Obviously, I've sort of updated and edited bits of it now, so that it's appropriate to display. But, you know, I think it was kind of about, you know, the struggle of being romantic, but also needing to control the narrative of that romance, because being in control means that you're less likely to get hurt, you know. I think, you know, kind of the first time you fall in love, you can just kind of go with it and be a bit crazy and wild because it's new and it feels special and wonderful. But sort of the second time around, and maybe every time after that, you're a bit more careful, and sort of gradually you just become more and more sort of a control freak, because you're like, okay, if we do this, and you do this, everything will be fine. Don't go outside what I'm telling you, you know? But obviously real life doesn't work like that. You can't make someone say or do a certain thing. Unless, of course, you have mind powers, like mind control powers, or you're very good at, like, some kind of, you know, witchcraft. Not that I'm saying I am. I'm not confirming or denying. Please, nobody come to my house and go into my study, which is definitely not a witchcraft room. Don't go in there. Actually, just no one turned up at my house at all. That'd be weird. Let's not make it weird, okay? Anyway, I forgot where I was. Yes, so you can't really control anything, you know, because life is unpredictable. People are unpredictable. You never know. I think to an extent, love kind of stops being fun if you're trying to sort of make it all go one way. But, I mean, also love is scary as fuck. So, God, why do we do this, you know? Why? Love is expensive, it's scary, it's, you know, it's stressful. Why, man? Why? I don't know. I mean, I guess it's for the moments when you just look at someone and you're like, God, I'm so happy you exist. Wow. Yeah, I guess it's kind of worth it then. Oh, love. He's having a good Valentine's Day, huh? First of May. May I have our love forever. I'm seasick as he waves at me. I shake myself to pieces. Bayside Bay and his party girl. So satisfied in his storm. He won't dance with me until we're alone. The crowds can't get enough of us. But he'll be at home, waiting. A better buzz than I can find in any bar. I whistle, impatient, and he runs. Everything important surrounds me as he closes me into his arms. I am his last love, and he my first. I wrote that about marriage, which is weird, I suppose, because I've never been married before. I almost got married once, but, well, I didn't, obviously. I feel bad about that sometimes. I mean, he obviously wanted to marry me, and, well, I didn't, and that wasn't very nice of me, was it? But then again, I suppose it would have been worse had I gone through with it, you know, out of, like, politeness. Because I think he'd know, you know, I think that's something you would figure out eventually. I think I'd like to get married someday, but, you know, whether that's, you know, I think it's probably not going to be what I think it is, you know. Because in my mind, it's like getting to hang out with the person you like most in the world all the time. And, you know, you get to do cool stuff like
you know, go into Asda, but it's fun because, like, there's this person you really like with you and you can, you know what I mean? But obviously there's also the really shit parts of being married to each other. And, I mean, is anyone worth putting up with that for? Who knows? I guess I'll find out in the future, maybe. I hope it's good. Maybe if I just think really hard that it will be, then it will, you know? You never know. Yeah, I'll think a good marriage into existence and hopefully I'll get one. It is Valentine's Day after all.
I was lying in bed. My hand was somewhere that I don't like to talk about. I was thinking about men. The only wet thing in my bed was my face, as I wept, knowing I couldn't think away the truth, or the way I desperately wanted to think of her. It's unique to me, but I think I do this thing sometimes where I like to pretend that things were good when they weren't, you know, like I've done that about a lot of things where I've kind of convinced myself that something was fine and I was happy and whatever when I really really wasn't. Just because, you know, I don't like to be a negative person and I like to try and, you know, just like be, you know, happy and kind of, I guess, kind of hide from the fact that, you know, sometimes things don't go well, sometimes things aren't perfect, you know. But one of the things that I have struggled with really up until sort of the last sort of year and a half of my life, this is so stupid because, like, I'm literally kind of low-key struggling to talk about it now, despite the fact I'm in a room by myself. But, you know, meanwhile, you know, when I've talked about it before, I'm like, no, everything was fine. I had no problems with it. Everything was great. I never felt bad or worried. Everything was fine. But I've struggled with my sexuality and with the fact that I'm not straight, you know, you know, do you know what's stupid? Is I have this post on my blog and I can remember writing it because I was sitting there, you know, carefully choosing all the words to kind of make it seem as lovely and wonderful as possible because I really wanted to write this lovely story about how I, you know, discovered that I was attracted to both men and women and it was fine and I had a lovely time and everything was wonderful and I never doubted myself and I never felt weird about it and it was wonderful and you can feel that way too and blah blah blah, you know. But it was contrived, you know, it wasn't really, I mean, obviously there were aspects of truth in it. You know, I'm very fortunate that I have a very, you know, supportive and progressive family. You know, my family have never made me feel bad for that aspect of myself. My family have never, you know, been upset about it. I know that there are a lot of people, unfortunately, who do have that experience, and I have been very fortunate that I don't. So that part was true. You know, my family have always been very accepting, and that's wonderful. But I had a lot of issues accepting it, you know. I had a lot of difficulty, you know, because firstly, where I sort of went to school for the most part, okay, for those who don't know, in England, and other parts of the UK, I think, but it's a bit complicated because of devolution. But anyway, there was previously a law called Section 28, which meant that schools could not, as they put it, promote homosexuality. What that basically meant is that schools had to basically sort of only talk about heterosexual nuclear families. There was really no mention of anything to do with LGBT stuff, you know, and so it was kind of taught that the only thing that was normal was straight people. But that law was repealed quite a while ago. But Kent, which is where I sort of was for most of my school life, and certainly the part where we did things like sex education and stuff like that, the council, in their infinite wisdom, decided to ignore that. And so schools continued teaching things in a way as they would have under that law. So, you know, when I'm learning about things like relationships and things like that in school, all I'm being taught about is straight people. And, you know, I mean, this wasn't like a million years ago. but, you know, it was still at a time when there was not as much, you know, there weren't as many like TV shows or books or, you know, things like that about LGBT people that were available to, you know, a teenager who didn't have much money, and only had sporadic internet access, because I think, if I'm remembering correctly, we were still on dial-up for quite some time. So, you know, it was very hard to find any evidence that there were people like me, and it was very confusing, you know, and I'd spent my whole life, for the most part, being told that there weren't people like me, and if there were, there was probably something wrong with them. Now, my family being nice, you know, and I'm going to say nice because they are. I think it's nice to be accepting of other people, even if it's not who you are. I think that's a wonderful thing. But them being accepting of these things and, you know, talking to me about them, you know, it was just one thing. There were still all these other thoughts and worries that I had, and I was like, what the fuck? you know, and it was terrifying sometimes because I thought, what does this mean? You know, what does this mean for me? Will I, you know, is this just something that happens to everyone? Is this something that I will move on from and it will stop happening? Will I be able to make it stop? What do I do? You know? And it's like even receiving that validation and, you know, because this was before I'd actually told anyone, because I couldn't even really be real with myself. But, you know, I have a feeling actually that probably my mum at the very least always sort of had an idea, you know, because I would always kind of, you know, ask her questions that were probably a bit suspicious, you know, like, what does it mean if a girl also likes girls and stuff? And she would say, well, you know, that means this and that's fine. And I'd be like, oh, okay, you know. So hearing my mum say that's fine was nice and it helped. But it was like, it was just confusing. And it was scary and it was hard to come to terms with sometimes, you know, because it felt like a very, you know, like I had to pick, you know, one or the other. I was like, okay, so does this mean I'm a lesbian? Does this mean I'm straight and just very confused? What do I do? You know, because I don't know. Oh, Christ. This is where a co-host would have come in handy, you know. But it was a very difficult journey. And I think I've always tried to make it seem nice and rosy because that's what I wanted it to be. Of course, other people would have had far harder times with it, you know. And most of mine was really self-inflicted because I spent all this time worrying about it and it's really not a big deal. But, you know, I just wanted it to be better. I wanted not to have spent all that time being afraid to, you know, be who I was and to think about who I was and, you know, I feel like I would have been probably a lot less miserable and, you know, but I mean, this is why I think it's important to have things like inclusive education. You know, if I, for example, had gone to school in a different area, and I hadn't gone to a school which was under a local authority that mandated that they had to only teach us one thing. If I'd have gone to a school where that wasn't an issue, I mean, I would have realised a lot quicker that I was completely normal, you know, and my God, I could have done without that angst, you know what I mean? But, I suppose it builds character, you know? and it gives me a bunch of stuff to write about. So, happy LGBT History Month, everybody. Voted most likely to steal your elderly husband in my high school yearbook. Because I'm a vampire for vintage. I need stale, old blood, seasoned love. Because tomorrow's man doesn't factor into my future. And I want a heart and a face with character. And an earth of experience to impact upon my son. I wasn't actually voted anything in my yearbook. I'm not even 100% sure I am in my yearbook. you know, because... Man, it was so long ago. The one thing I remember about my yearbook is they had an award for most blonde, because I believe that was at a time when everyone decided that blonde people were stupid, so that was a whole thing, and it made me laugh because the girl who won the most blonde award was a brunette, and that's always stuck with me because it's funny to me. Anyway, so, you know, I wasn't actually voted anything in my yearbook. I don't even know why we had one, because I thought that was an American thing, but there we are. But you know, but it was a fun kind of you know, kind of image, and so I kind of used that to write that poem. It's quite an old one, really. Actually, I say that, I think it was from 2017, so I guess it's not really that old in the grand scheme of things, but, you know. But it's actually something I get asked about a lot. Not my yearbook, but why I prefer relationships with older people. And, you know, it's Valentine's Day, so obviously I'm obliged to talk about love and relationships and shit. So I guess now's as good a time as any to give a detailed answer on that. So it's a multitude of reasons, right? Firstly, this is going to make me sound like a fucking hipster, but what can I do? I find that I tend to have more in common with them in terms of interests, you know, because, you know, it's not just in, you know, in terms of relationships. Most things I like, I am allegedly far too young for. So, you know, I like a lot of old TV shows. I mean, as regular listeners may know, I'm obsessed with an Australian TV show from the 80s. And I'm sure you can imagine I don't have many people my own age to talk to about that. I like a lot of older music. I mean, don't get me wrong, I like quite a few, you know, I'm not one of those people who's like, oh, I won't listen to anything after 1970. Like, I do like quite a few, you know, modern things, but I, you know, I very much like a lot of stuff from, you know, the 50s and the 60s, so we have that in common. You know, I like a lot of older films and stuff. You know, so these are things that I often can talk to older people about, which is great. you know, there's also other aspects, you know, in terms of, you know, the structure of relationships. I don't even know if I'm using that word correctly. But like, I need to know what's happening. I need to know where I stand. Basically, I don't want to play fucking games. You know what I mean? I'm not in the mood for it. I've put down my Xbox controller. I'm not here to mess around. I am looking for something real. I'm not going to waste my time. You know, I'm not looking to, you know, do that. I can't be arsed. Do you know what I mean? I find that older people will normally be straight with you. If they're, sorry, I've just like, because I've got my phone, which I'm recording this on my bedside table. I've also got a glass bottle on there. I'm sure you can guess what's in that. And I'm talking so dramatically with my hands. I've just sort of smacked it across the table. So I'm sorry if that made a sound. Anyway, back to the matter at hand. Yeah, so I just find older people will be straight with you. If they're just looking for something casual, they'll tell you. And then I can say, right, okay, well, I'm not really interested in that, but thank you for your time. And I can move the fuck on. I don't waste my time going out with them, talking to them, getting to know them, only for them to be like, right, okay, do you want to come home with me then? And I'm like, excuse you, bitch, what? Do you know what I mean? I don't have to waste time doing that because they'll tell you. But if they're looking for something serious, again, they'll tell you. And I can say, okay, me too. Great. Wonderful. Let's do that then. You know, I find that a lot of younger people, you know, it's not really like that. They won't really be as honest, you know. I'm not saying all younger people are liars and scammers, but in my experience, quite a few of them are. Like, to be honest, I'm pretty sure. Do you know what? This is mainly aimed at men because not to be a misandrist about this, but I found that I don't have a lot of these problems with women, you know. So with women, I'm not as fussy about age. I am still sort of, for the most part, attracted to older women, but I would entertain the possibility of dating a, you know, not someone younger than me. I'm not a paedophile. I'm joking. I suppose really I'm like a reverse paedophile, really, because I'm not really interested in anyone unless they're significantly older than me. But anyway, but yeah, I would entertain the possibility of dating a younger woman, you know, and by that I mean somebody at least close to my age, you know, nobody really under the age of like 25 of either gender, really. But you know, in terms of men, I've tried going out with men my own age. I've tried it, let me think. Four times now. And I'm not getting anywhere. So I don't know if that's bad or not. Four times. I mean, some would say I'm not really giving it a chance, but like, for fuck's sake, how much time do you think I have on this planet? You know what I mean? Who has the time? It's endless, you know, because, you know, and that's not even factoring in the people that I've just not even gone there, you know. You know, the ones who send you a message or approach you in the street or whatever. And you're just like, nah, mate. Can't even begin to think about it. I can't. I won't, you know, because they just can't be honest, you know? If you're just looking to hook up, that's nice for you. But be honest about it so I can say, well, I don't really want to do that. But, you know, good luck on your quest. Be safe. Don't go crazy. I hope that you find someone who wants to do that with you, you know. But don't, do you know what I mean? Just be real. Be honest. Don't fucking lie and hope that you're so charming that I'll just be like, oh, well, I wasn't really looking to hook up, but you know what? I've had such a lovely time here at this fucking really shit pub, you know, and you've talked about yourself all night, but you know what? I didn't come out here to hook up, but you've changed my mind. I'm definitely going to do it. Like, why do they think that? Fuck's sake. Anyway, so yeah. It's a very long way of saying it, but you know, the point is I find older people to be a lot more upfront about what they want, which is a lot easier for me. Okay, so other reasons. I find that I don't know how to say this about being mean. I just think they look better. I'm sorry, but I do. Right? I just... I'm such a bitch. But what can I do? You know? It's too late to change, man. It's too late. But I really, really do. You know, I think older people tend to look really nice, you know? And I like that. You know, I like, you know, the sophistication, the... It's like you can see all the life that they've experienced. It's right there and it's beautiful. I think it's wonderful, you know. Yeah, it's great. I love it. But yeah, so those are some of the reasons. There's another one, but I've talked about this before on the podcast. I don't want to go into it again, especially not on Valentine's Day when we're supposed to be feeling all lovey and whatever, because I don't want people to email me and speak to me about kink shaming. I'm not in the mood to hear it. I will not entertain that today. I will not.
Last night, as you dreamt of the one you loved, I jumped for joy in front of a train. My eyes opened at 6 sharp, but I wasn't awake until I saw the black-cloaked boy who wouldn't send me home without one last kiss. My bones whined with their wishes, not contained by my skin, as he beckoned me towards the tracks and put on some cherry chapstick. When it hit me, I, the most beautiful blur of broken-hearted blood, gazed up at the mortified magpies. Shrugging my shattered shoulders, I told them I didn't feel a thing since you left me anyway. Sometimes on Valentine's Day, I like to think about the moments in like past relationships or whatever where I thought that nothing would ever be okay again, you know, where like maybe you break up with someone or you have like this huge fight or whatever and you just think, oh my god, this is it, and you feel so terrible and you just think, I'm never going to be happy again, I'm never gonna move on from this, I'm never gonna get over this. But I think sometimes people are like way more resilient than they think. Like, I've had so many of those moments, and I'm still here, you know, functioning relatively well, you know. I moved on. I got myself together. I'm okay. I'm doing good. And it's just crazy to think how, you know, sometimes you just think you never will, but then you do. Yeah, that's wonderful. I swear it's been real, but you were too much for me, you were too good to me, so these words are all that's left as I vanish into another night. I wrote that for the ending of my last book, 27 with a White Lighter, which, by the way, I'm obliged to remind you, you can absolutely purchase in both digital ebook and paperback format from my website, from the book's own website, 27withawhitelighter.com, or Amazon. Anyway, back to what I was saying. Yeah, so I wrote that for the ending, and what I was kind of going for was, like, you know, on some albums they have like a final track, and it's just kind of like a sort of farewell moment, you know. It's kind of like that, like, there's one in particular I was thinking about at the end of Amy Winehouse's first album, Frank. There's you know, this guy, and it's like the whole album has been like a show that you've been to, and he says about how the show's finished and stuff like that. And it's like a really cool moment. Like, if you go onto, like, you know, wherever the hell you get your music these days, probably streaming, because everyone does. And if you listen to the last track on the album, you can hear it and you'll get what I mean. You know, just like a kind of cute, simple little outro, you know. And I think it kind of summed up a lot of what was happening in the book, you know, kind of the uncertainty and the longing for something meaningful, but also being afraid of having it, you know. And I think it really kind of closed the book very, very nicely, and was very, very on brand. The end of our delightful ride through the metaphorical tunnel of love together, and here is where we part and enjoy the rest of our Valentine's Day together, or, well, apart, actually, because I'll be here doing whatever I'm doing. I'm going to see a film, actually, and you'll be doing whatever you're doing, and that's wonderful. I'll be back next week, but in the meantime, if you did want to find more of my work, then you can do that on my website, which is jenniferwan.com. You can also find me on social media with the username MissJSquared, including Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, YouTube, Reddit, everywhere really, SoundCloud. Did I say Facebook? Well, I'm on Facebook. Yay, Facebook, stealing all our data and stuff. you can find all that there. Oh, that's something. you can get my new single, A View from the Bridge, on all digital music stores from the 22nd of February. So that'll be fun for you, I'm sure. yeah, I think that's everything. These get shorter and shorter every week. But I will see you next week. And I hope that you have a wonderful Valentine's Day full of love and happiness. Good night, my love.